God's word for our consideration this morning. God's word to enlighten us, to strengthen us, to nourish our walk of life as God's redeemed children in Jesus is from the gospel lesson. The Gospel of John. And here it begins. John begins, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." Jesus, in the beginning. So now, here is John the Baptist. And, you know, he's talking to his own disciples, and he's pointing out Jesus. And so the next day is where our text comes in, and where Jesus is calling his disciples to follow him. And all of a sudden, Philip follows Jesus, and he comes back to his brother Nathanael. "We have found the one whom the scriptures are revealing as the Savior of the world, Jesus from Nazareth." And Philip's response, or Nathanael's response, is, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" He is so skeptical. He is so arrogant to think that, you know, nothing can come out of Nazareth. But then Nathanael goes, and he's walking. You could just see him walking up to Jesus. And Jesus says, "You know, here is a true Israelite in which there is no deceit. There's no spite." And Nathanael looks at Jesus and says, how did you know that?" "Well, I saw you. I saw you under the fig tree." Oh my goodness. This guy is really weird and on the weird side. But, you know, I'm going to go along with this. And then Jesus says to Nathanael, "You believe because you see me? You're going to see greater things than these." I want you to think about this text as you think about your own life today and what you wrestle with. Maybe you wrestle coming to church because it's so cold out and it's windy and the windshield is very low. Maybe you wrestle with that. Maybe you wrestle with, "Oh gosh, you know, it looks so bright out. I'm not sure if I really want to go." You know, we wrestle with a lot of things. And one of the things we wrestle with is doubt. And we wrestle with that doubt. And I'm just going to say a couple things here, because we wrestle with politicians and what they say. We wrestle with the weatherman, okay? And we wrestle with all of these kinds of doubts, and we say, I'll believe it when I see it. I'm sure I cannot do that. I don't believe it will work. Or the tried and true doubt. We've never done it that way before. It kind of sticks in our craw, but those kinds of doubts are all there. But the one doubt that we've had, and I'm sure it's you've had it, is our God. Is God really listening to me? Is God really hearing my prayer? Is God really in my life? Will God really forgive my sins? You see, we have all these kinds of doubts. We wrestle with it. We wrestle with it through our daily lives. And TV has a way of putting doubts in our minds. The one phrase that I always remember, and it's in CSI, and they said, "Follow the evidence. Follow the evidence." try to prove those doubters wrong. Well, if we follow the evidence for us is Jesus on a cross. The evidence for us is Jesus was laid in the tomb. The evidence for us is that Jesus rose from the dead. He walked out of the tomb. The evidence for us is Jesus' nail prints. The evidence for us is Jesus himself. And so as we think about this in our own lives, doubts can carry us away. Doubts about Jesus, doubts about God the Father, doubts about God the Holy Spirit can take us away from God himself. We're living in a world now that continually doubts God's presence. Have you ever heard a weather person, weather man, male, female, say, you know, this is what God is sending us? No, you hear the word Mother Nature. Who's Mother Nature? It's simply God himself. He's allowing the systems to work. But yet we still doubt. We doubt God's presence. We gotta doubt what God is saying to us. I'm gonna take this off because it's just bothering me. You can still hear me, can't you?
Yeah.
Of course, because I had the mic turned off for most of the service already. But it's, you see, we live with these doubts. We go to the doctor. Do we think that he's going to cure us? What about the medicines he gives us? Sometimes we doubt they even work in our bodies. And yet we are living with all of these doubts. Why is our Christian faith so different? So we doubt God. We doubt his work in our life. We doubt his energy that he gives us. We doubt all the things that are about God. And he still loves us. And he sends the Holy Spirit into our hearts and our lives so that we may believe in Jesus. You thought believing in Jesus was by your power and strength. No, it's by the power and strength of the Holy Spirit. Luther wrote, I am convinced that I cannot come to the Lord Jesus Christ except by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's where our power is. That erases our doubts. That takes away our doubts. And here in the first chapter of John, John is illustrating this about doubts because he wants to inject into our lives, into our minds and hearts, that we're all alike. We're like Nathaniel. We're like him in so many ways that we doubt any good can come out of our faith. And Philip is saying, come and see. Come and see this Jesus. Come and see and hear what he has to say. And then you will believe. All Nathaniel needs is to come in the presence of Jesus. And Jesus saying to Nathaniel, here is a true Israelite in which there is no deceit. How do you know me? How do you know what's in me? Before Philip called you, you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Wow. Seeing is believing. For you and I, we have the scriptures. You and I, we have God's word. God tells us that he created the world in 6 days. God tells us that he created all of us the way we are. God tells us in Psalm 139 that we read responsibly just a little bit ago, that he sees us when we sit and lie down. He knows everything about us. This is the God that created us. This is the God who molded us. This is the God who gave his son, Jesus, into death for our sins. And he tells us, you are mine. He tells us that no matter what kind of sin that we have committed, he pushes our sins away from him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins from him. He tells us in the prophet Jeremiah, I will remember their sin no more. He erases our doubts. He builds us up. He encourages us. He gives us the gifts of the Holy Spirit, so that we may share with each other our confession of faith. Paul writes, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the power of the Holy Spirit. So when you confess Jesus is Lord, you are doing it by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by your power, not by your strength. And as Jesus lives in our lives, he builds us up and he gives us a love that's an enormous love, that we share God's love with each other. And what's really unique about this God is he knows that we know people that don't know Jesus. And he gives us the words to speak. He gives us the opportunity to speak them. And he gives us the power and strength of the Holy Spirit so that we may indeed speak of God's great wonders and what he has done for us. And he puts us together with people. I've used this story before, but it's so poignant, is that Bob was a fringe member of St. Paul Lutheran Church. His mother was a shut-in of mine. His father was Greek Orthodox. Didn't really get to know his father, but I got to know his mother, who was a believing Christian, believing Lutheran, who told me about her son. Her son's wife committed suicide. So Bob was mad at God. He was angry with God because God caused this to happen. Well, God put us two together because both of our sons were playing hockey. Mitch was playing A, Bantam A. Andrew was playing Bantam B, but their paths crossed many times. So Bob and I got to talk. A unique thing that Bob and I talked about was we had the same snowblower. We had a Craftsman snowblower. And in that snowblower, in underneath, in the drivetrain, there was a small key. One of these old metal keys that would go in. And wouldn't you know it? That those keys were the same and they broke off when the snowblower would go through heavy snow. God gave us an opportunity to sit there and talk. And we would talk about that snowblower. And I got this close to bringing Bob back to church. And we left. And I prayed for Bob. And I prayed for his sons. And I had hope that he would know and come back to church. Sometimes it doesn't work. But God gives us the power and strength to use our words and actions. There was a missionary in Brazil. And he was in this indigenous community, and he was trying to minister to these indigenous people. And there was a contagious disease that was going around. He had to get these people to the medical center. But to do that, they had to go through the river. And this indigenous group would not go into the river because they knew from past experience, well, past words that were spread around the tribe, that if they went into that water, the evil spirits would kill them. So they stayed away from the water. And the missionary went to the water and he said, slapped up the water in his face, and see, nothing happened. They still were fearful and full of anxiety. Then he did the unthinkable. He took off his clothes and he jumped in the water. He swam across the river and he swam back. And as he climbed out of the river, the people cheered. No evil spirit touched him. You see, God gave him the strength and the wherewithal to share with that tribe God's mighty power and strength. And he does it the same with us. Why do we doubt? Because we're sinful. But here in this text, Jesus tells us to get rid of that doubt. Get rid of that fear. Get rid of that anxiety. Because he is with us. Every step of our lives. In Christ's holy name. Amen.